Hi, this is Bob Sorrentino from Italian Roots and Genealogy, and I'm here today with Davide Frumento, and he's located in Italy, and we're going to talk about his family and his background. So welcome, Davide. Thanks for being here.
Hey, nice to meet you, Bob.
So you, just in the pre-interview, you said you're located near Genoa, yes?
Yes, I'm located in a town, the city named Savona. It's about 46 kilometers from Genoa.
Oh, so not too far away, not too far away. So, like I said, you know, I don't get to interview too many Italians about their research and their family, so it's great to have someone like you on the line. And so, where are your families from in Italy?
Yeah, I have a pretty, you know, monstrous genealogy. I did a lot of research because I'm Jewish Italian, and my family is from Liguria, Piemonte, Austria, Spain, Hungary, and Poland, and Germany.
Oh, so you have a wide variety of family, yeah. What have you found out, you know, that's interesting since you have such a, you know, varied background?
Yeah. It's an interesting story, actually. Until, 5 years ago, I didn't make, deep reasons, a very deep reasons. But since I had a period of 3-4 months at home from work, between one contract and another, I had the time to deepen my research. So I started questioning my parents about my family, because they were always being, you know, critical and evasive about this. Because they wanted to protect me, in Italy, we Jewish people are not free and safe as in USA, I guess. So I questioned them, and they started to tell me some surnames, some origins, and I started to find out some interesting things. Firstly, they told me about my Salomone surname ancestry, that is Jewish, like Solomon. Mm-hmm. So I started to search. I started, of course, from Savona, because the first generation of going backwards were based here in Savona, but I discovered some interesting facts, they come from Spain, and going backwards, they come from Morocco.
Yeah,
because they, in the ancient times, they escaped from Israel and in the diaspora. So they ended up in Morocco, in northern Africa, and then in Andalusia, in Spain, in the Andalusia region. Then in the medieval era, when the Queen Isabel, the Catholic Queen, decided to expel all Jewish people from Spain, they ended up in Sicily. And they were kicked out also from Sicily, and they ended up in Savona and in Hungary, in Budapest. Firstly in Buda and then in Pest. Buda and Pest are two originally were two different towns, and they merged. So this is the Solomon story. When they ended up in Liguria, they started pottery business. They were the first proprio reticence in Liguria, in Savona, really, in Savona. So this is a story of Salomone Park, of my family. This is from my paternal grands. From my maternal grands, they are named Gardero, but you know, it's originally Gardero was Gerber, Jewish German surname. So it means it roughly means tenor. So it's you know, from a crack, from the crack of tenor. They escaped in the 18th century from Germany, and they came to Piedmont during the 20th century, so like 100 and some years ago. They came to southern Piedmont, and then they came to Germany. This is roughly, you know, a brief story of my very good.
That's you know, very interesting, and you know, a lot of people when they do their ancestry here, they do ancestry.com or something like that, they're surprised to find that they have, you know, 2%, 3%, 5%, 8% Jewish. Because, you know, typically Italians, especially in America, don't realize that how many Jews came to Italy from, like you said, you know, from Spain and other places, even further back. I mean, even going back to ancient times, there were a lot of Jewish that wound up in Italy for various reasons. Yeah, funny that you mention it, because I descend from several Aragonas, kings of Spain, through my paternal grandmother. She's Piramalo and Caracciolo. I say it the American way. I always get corrected. But I've been able to trace them way back, and they, you know, when the Spanish came, they intermarried a lot with the Italian nobles. And so I've been able to trace, you know, very far back. So, you know, have you found, I mean, besides, you know, the tracing the history and everything, have you found any, you know, really interesting stories, or, you know, are there any interesting things that happened in the recent past or way back that you found out?
Yes, because I use a lot of, you know, free services for genealogy, like familysearch.com. It's nearly free, but I use the part for free. I could discover an interesting story that goes far back in the past, near the 10th century. It was a very lucky strike for me. Through the familysearch website, I could connect my personal genealogy tree with another genealogy tree. And I'm talking about the Inama surname. That is an Austrian surname. You know, Tirol, Austria. And I'm talking about my grandmother, my paternal grandmother, and she was named Inama, Inama's the name. Her ancestry traces back in Austria. I could connect my genealogy tree with another that traces back to such territories, but you know, far back to the 11th, 13th century. And I discovered that my paternal she was like a working class hero, like a song, because he worked in Calcider, that was a steel industry based here in Savona, And I found an interesting piece of German paper which tells a story. The story of this man who came from Austria, nearly an alphabet, but very, you know, very skilled in manual labor. So they had to lift up very, very heavy piece of you know, steel craftsmanship. And he was very, very skilled in this. But one day, an engineer became envious of his work, and he wanted to, you know, to take his place. He made his calculations. He made his calculations to lift up such a heavy piece of steel, and his calculations were wrong. His calculations were wrong. Such enormous piece of steel fell on a house and destroyed it. So they fired such an engineer, and my Nam ancestor gave back his place, and you know, he lifted up through various you know, low calculations this enormous piece of steel, and he was destroyed.
That's a cool story. Do you know what building it was by any chance?
Yes, it's an abandoned building in Savona, near such a Ital Sider manufacturing field, yes, near the harbor of Savona.
We'll be right back.
Italian Roots and Genealogy is proudly sponsored by Your Dolce Vita and Dawn Matera, connecting people to their purpose in life and continuing their legacy. For more information, contact Dawn at www.yourdolcevita.com. Oh, wow. So that's great to even know, you know, what the building was and everything like that. That's really, really neat. So, you know, you mentioned, you know, being Jewish and you know, we know how that goes. I mean, even in the States, even today, there are a lot of stupid people don't appreciate other people's faiths or races or anything else like that. But did your family have, because I'm always interested, I love history and I'm always interested in World War II and everything. Did they have a tough time in World War II because they were Jewish?
So another interesting story. Because when I first contacted you, I mentioned the fact of a Jewish family history, as you recall it. And it's very interesting because my paternal Jewish grandson neatly hid themselves. And I discovered it, in, you know, 2 years ago. They are named Salomone, and there was a person exchange. The person that my father thought she was her grandmother, she was actually his aunt. Because to protect her real grandmother, they had to switch birth for people. So he discovered such a, you know, a history thanks to my research like 4 or 5 years ago. One of my ancestors of such Salomon Branch was a partisan. And to hide himself, he dressed up as a Catholic priest.
Wow.
And the fascists and the Nazis bought it entirely. So he passed himself like a Catholic priest.
So he would walk amongst the Nazis dressed as a priest?
Yeah.
That's a great story.
Yes.
So, that's a great story.
So they saved themselves in such a way.
So I you know, I interviewed somebody. I don't recall who, and I don't recall what town it was. I'm pretty sure it was down south. It may have been Puglia or someplace. But her grandfather was building a building in Italy. He was in America, and he was building a building in Italy. And they just kept asking him for more money, and they were building walls within walls, just because they could keep making money. And he was there, and they were there. And what she said was that during the war, they actually were able to hide people in the walls. They're actually able to hide Jewish people within the walls when the Nazis came, because there was that much space, and there were three walls layered, and that's how they wound up utilizing this building to help save people. And I'll tell you a great story from an interview that I just did. I'll try and keep it short, but for anybody listening, it's the interview that I did on the Third Attic in Brooklyn, New York. This is probably, I think, the most amazing story that I ever heard. The Italians wanted to build a church in New York City, but they didn't have the land, so the bishop gave them some land. And while they were building the church, they bought another building to have mass. And 15 years later, they thought the church would be ready and they would be able to sell the building that they were holding mass and pay it off. But the church wasn't ready. They had no place to go, and they didn't have the money to pay off the church. The priest was walking down the street, and this Jewish man, a shop owner, said, "What's wrong, Father? You look very sad." And he said, we don't have $500 to pay for the building." And he said, "I will get you the $500." And he did. He begged, he borrowed, he did whatever he had to do. They were able to keep the church. This gentleman died. 25 years later, his family, from Austria, no less, his family contacted the wife and said, "It was 1939. We need to leave Austria. The Nazis are coming. We need to get out." She didn't know what to do. She asked a few people around, and somebody said, "If you go to Cuba, they will be able to take them." She didn't know anybody in Cuba, but she winds up there. And as she gets off the airplane, she sees the priest that her husband lent the money to. He's now the archbishop, and he reports to the Pope in Rome. He brings 25 people of his family to Cuba and feeds them from 1939 to 1945. Feeds them, clothes them, gives them a home. If you saw that in the movie, you would say, impossible, right?
Right, yes, it's a very moving story. It's luckily it's not too rare to hear such stories. I'd like to tell about my maternal Jewish branch. They were luckier than my father's branch, because they were able to change their surname from Gerda to Gardero. So they were passed as Italian farmers, and they switched, apparently switched to Catholic converts, and they saved themselves like this, but the tradition remained, and the ethnicity remained, because we have to remember that Jewish people are an ethnic group, also an ethnic group.
I didn't realize, I guess we were watching something on television maybe last year or something like that, about, I think in Rome there's a large Jewish community. There's a whole section, right?
Yeah, yes.
In fact, it was Stanley Tucci who was, he went to a restaurant, and the woman, I believe, was Jewish, and they were there a very, very long time. But again, people don't realize that there is a very long history of Judaism in Italy, because we just think everybody's Catholic in Italy.
yeah. these people settled in Italy since the 3rd century of Christ. So it's a long, long story. Also in Genoa, we have a Jewish community. Not very big, but we have synagogue, we have everything. And, you know, it's funny because they did not tell me anything about my Jewish roots until I was 30. Now I'm 36, and I was, and I was gaslighted until 30 about this in a very funny way, because when I was 12, they made me go to church as a Catholic, but you know, they flanked me with like a Jewish teacher of calligraphy, and I could learn Jewish tradition, Jewish calligraphy in such a way, and I did not suspect anything at all until I was 30. Yes, pretty stupid about me, but it's like this.
So how did they what did they say? They just say, also, you're Jewish?
when I became curious about my origins, you know, I was already pretty expert about everything about this, because they made me study all these topics. And when I, you know, asked the surnames and the origin of the surnames, I was struck by the truth. I said, okay, those are Jewish surnames. So why didn't you tell me to protect you?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but now I totally erased my roots. And this is, a very, very lucky thing for me. From 2 years, I could create and build the largest Facebook Jewish group in Europe. Like 20,000, nearly 20,000 members, and for Jewish people, it's like this stuff.
So, do you eat Italian food or Jewish food or both?
With no pork, but no seafoods.
Oh yeah, you can't. The shrimp, like shellfish.
Shellfish.
I when I was 18, I worked for a Jewish lawyer in New York, and I learned about the dairy and the meat. We used to go to the dairy restaurants, and then we would go to the I don't know if they have kosher delis in Italy, but it's fantastic in New York City.
Maybe in Rome and Milan. Because they are very large cities and, you know, European cities, but here, no. In Genoa, no, in Savona, no.
Yeah, well, and you know, most of the Jewish cuisine here is basically coming from Poland,
yes.
Austria, Germany, you know, those types of places. It's not really Mideastern or anything like that. It's really from those places.
Yes, in the States, these people are mostly, Ashkenazi, Yiddish people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's what shows up on the DNA. I mean, I think, the DNA test. It really irks me when you do. Have you done a DNA test?
No.
You gotta. You have to do it. It's so interesting. Italians don't do it. It's, you know, what's funny about it is here in America, a lot of people are doing it. My wife is half Sicilian and half Puerto Rican, and the Puerto Ricans, every Puerto Rican does a DNA test. She's got thousands of cousins, and I have found a few connections in Italy, but not many. Not many.
I did. Yes, I didn't make it. I didn't make it such DNA test because it gives me like a genetic vibe, a Nazi vibe. So I
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, I think a lot of people think like that. Like I said, I may bring a few tests with me just to hand out to some of my cousins. We're coming next month. We're coming in June, and I'm going to meet cousins that I never knew existed. Mm-hmm. We had to postpone the trip twice because of COVID, and now I think I don't even care anymore. I'm just going to come. But we're going to, you know, I found out that I have first cousins once removed that I never knew existed.
Yeah. I discovered some cousins around the world thanks to FamilySearch.com.
Yeah, yeah, great. Yeah.
They announced the event named Roots Tech like 1 month ago. And I discovered some cousins from my Austrian branch in USA, in California, in Kentucky, in Ohio, and as well in Argentina, and in Peru.
Wow, that's cool. That's nice.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. See, when my cousin Cinzia, she's a fourth cousin. When she put the name on Facebook, Piermalo, she thought she would find cousins in South America, where was the other place? In Spain. She never thought that she would find anybody in America. And then through her, I've made so many connections. And just recently, I found out there are grandchildren from my paternal grandmother. Two of them are in San Diego, in California. I didn't even know anything about them. So, but yeah, to your point, I've done several interviews with the people at FamilySearch. They're very accommodating, great people. Like you said, the website's mostly free. And I tell people when they ask me, you know, I'm starting my research, what should I do? I said, go to FamilySearch first. I said, especially if you're not that interested in doing DNA and you're not that interested in finding, making connections and emailing cousins and things like that. That's a great place to start.
Yes, in Italy, we are a country with a rich genealogical heritage, and we have many places to search. Even if you are not a genealogist, I am not a genealogist, I am a biomedical researcher, so I don't know many things. But I went to Bishop's archives and Catholic archives and offices, departments of government departments with archives, and I learned a lot of things. I even consulted Catholic archives written in Latin. It was amazing. I could see and read the calligraphy of the priest of that era, priests of maybe 300 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Written with a feather.
When I search the records, I go through the pages sometime and I see these people with beautiful handwriting. And then the record that I need is always written by some guy who wrote like me, which is horrible.
It's very interesting. You can learn a lot of genealogic techniques and tricks. It's like a science. And it's very fascinating. It could take an entire registration like this only to talk about this. Italy is very rich about this. And it should be said. Around the
whole. Yeah, and I'm trying to put together, actually we're not trying, we put together a business to do some research. I found a couple of people over there, one person will research in the churches, another person, she could translate Italian, Latin, and Spanish into English. Mm-hmm. And then we came upon an expert graphologist.
Yeah.
And you know, people in the States kind of poo-poo it a little bit. I find it interesting, you know, but she did for me, my third great-grandfather, Count Giacomo Piumalo, and gave me a reading on him. And then she also did my grandmother. You know, and it's interesting. I say to, you know, I tell people, it's not an exact science, but I believe that, you know, people can tell things from handwriting. I'm a firm believer in that. You know?
Yes, yes. Me too. You know, such features like calligraphy can be passed down in a genomic way. So it's not far-fetched to say that.
Yeah, and you know, on my grandmother, of course, I didn't know my third great grandfather, but my grandmother, I didn't know her well. She passed away when I was about 11 or 12, but I knew enough of her that, you know, the reading that I got was fairly accurate. I mean, it was close. You know, I wouldn't say she, you know, every single point was spot on, but 90% of it matched. You know, so yeah, again, it's just, you know, to me, it's one more piece of the puzzle. You know, it's great to have names and dates and things like that, but finding maybe some personality traits is like an extra special kind of thing, you know?
Yes, yes, you can see it. I think you can see the feature passed down, especially when you sign one document with your personal sign, because, you know, my calligraphy, the one that I use when I write down something, became ruined more and more, taking notes at university, very fast, very fast. But when I sign a document, I can see my sign very, very similar to that of my father, for example.
So, oh yeah,
I think it's true. It's true.
Yeah, I mean, I have a record, from my great grandfather, and his signature is very similar to my father's. You know, you could see certain, you know, like when they made the N. My great grandfather was Nicola, my father was Nicholas, but you could see in the N and in the S of Sorrentino that it's similar. You know, which is amazing.
Yes, it's amazing. Yeah.
Davide, this has been great. I always have a lot of fun with these. Like I said, you're one of the few people that's done research in Italy that I've gotten to talk to. So this is special. And also, you know, the fact that you've been Jewish for 6 years is another great thing. So
officially.
Well, thanks again. I appreciate you taking the time.